This is Doc Mike with the Discerning Observer Podcast. This is a current events podcast and how these events affect living as a free human being. All right, this is Doc Mike. Let me check around here, make sure everything's working. I was a little late getting set up today. Looks like everything's working. I got sound, you know, where I need it. Let's go. I am sorry. I haven't been on in so long on Wednesday. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I think there's some changes in my life going on. I'm going to share them with you. But let's get through the intro first, if I can find my notes. Jesus, come on, man. I know, they're right here. They are right here. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. This is just a freedom lover's opinions on current events. Hey, could you all please post any social media sites that you are on? We are live here and have a live chat room on Real Liberty Media. You guys, if you don't listen to Hal Anthony Behind the Woodshed every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, you really should. A guy, I'm not kidding, I don't know how he put so much information into 2 hours, but he basically opens up a can of whoop-ass every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony. Every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, you guys give him a listen. That's awesome. He is awesome. And you can catch the Homestead Show right on the left coast is the Ravenwood Homestead Show. It's our little homestead here, the Ravenwood Homestead in Sheridan, Oregon. Hey, and this week I think I'm going to have some pretty cool stuff. I put some videos together. Well, a video together. I put some pictures together that I've been, you know, talking about for a long time. I'm telling you, it is a jungle up here, and I'm not talking about a crazy jungle. It is a jungle. Like, everything is growing so fast, and we just had excellent weather this year. You never know if it's going to continue, but right now, man, it is awesome, and the place just looks, well, it looks gorgeous, but you can tell it's going to rapidly get out of control if we don't do something. You know, some trimming and pruning and kind of just taking care of stuff. The garden's doing awesome. The birds are all doing awesome. Kind of everything right now is like on cruise mode, which is awesome. I mean, I kind of love it like that. There's very few times a year, you know, in the winter time, it's really kind of slow in a way, but you're kind of trying to survive the winter time and deal with whatever weather is coming your way. And the summer, spring and summer is a lot different. This time of year is very busy, and happy summer, by the way, summer solstice. Today, the most amount of daylight you're going to get is today. And then we will slowly start creeping back to those short, wonderful days of fall and winter and spring. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I do. This is my least favorite season, summertime here. Although, you know, kind of over the years, I don't know, maybe I've gotten more tolerant of it. You know, I think as you get older, you get more tolerant of a lot of things, like pain, for example. You kind of get used to dealing with pain. I don't know if you get used to it, but you can tolerate a lot more. But I think everybody has a point, man, that it's just like, okay, that's enough. I'm not interested in having any more pain. And that's been something that's I've been kind of dealing with too, you know, not on a big, you know, grand kind of way, just little. But man, you can just tell that, you know, you're going to be dealing with pain the rest of your life, no matter what you do. I think I live a pretty fairly healthy lifestyle, try and keep in shape and keep moving, keep things going. Although this whole shoulder thing, you know, that's a long story. I'll do that on the Homestead Show. But basically, the reason that I have shoulder problems is because that shoulder doesn't do anything. You know, I'm a dentist and I'm right-handed and my dominant hand arm does all this stuff. And my left arm just holds a dental mirror and it became weak and the joint was sloppy and You know, now we're getting them back in shape. Physical therapy twice a week, and then home exercises and physical therapy three times a week. So, you know, it's getting better. And it is getting better, which is kind of amazing. I'm actually pretty shocked that it's gotten as good as it has gotten. But still, the point is, it's a lot like pain that goes along with that. Oh, I didn't switch the camera. Of course, nobody cares because, you know, I have a face for radio or podcasts. That is horrendous. Let me see if I can fix this one more time. Here's the problem. So I'm sitting in the man cave, which is, here, let's see. Will that work? Let's just try that. Oh, that's better. I'm sitting in the man cave, and it's 6 p.m. Pacific time here locally. And the light is changing. Even though it's still going to be light for like 3.5 more hours, it's changing. So I set the camera 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, so that I didn't look stupid, like red or pink or white or gray. And then you go live 25 minutes later, and yeah, you look stupid. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Okay, so let me go back to my notes here, because happy summer. Like I said, summer solstice, the most amount of sunlight we're going to get, the longest stretch of sunlight we're going to get. This year has been so crazy. I'm not kidding. When you guys see these mullein plants in the video on Saturday, you're going to be probably shocked. Number one, I have a ton of mullein, which is crazy because 2 years ago, when a good friend of mine turned me on to mullein, I had one plant, and I remember saying, hey, I think I have one of those plants on this property, and I had to go looking for it, and I found it. It's kind of funny, like, you know, because it was a volunteer, I didn't plant it or anything, but it's a great medicinal plant. But I went looking for it, and then now I have this crop of freaking mullein, and they're ginormous. Some of them are, have these, like, leaves that are gigantic, they're budded out already, flowers are blooming, you know, it's all ready to harvest. But we'll talk more about that on the Homestead Show, like I said, on Sunday. I'm going to get distracted a lot, and I'll tell you why, because homestead living is kind of my priority, and I think that's one of the things that's happened in the past, oh, I don't know, 2 months, however long it's been since I've done, you know, kind of a discerning observer show where I just talk about, you know, current events that affect the way we live on the homestead. Because so there was a time I thought it was important to stay up on that stuff and to share whatever opinion I have on that stuff. And then I think something happened, you know, the heart attack last year, trying to, you know, change my life a little bit, putting more focus on making sure that I get my physical therapy in, my cardio in, you know, and happiness, you know, and having fun, you know, doing those things I think are much more important than doing a show on current events. But I'm telling you, man, so just in the past week or so, you know, I listened to a couple things, I saw some things, and I was like, gosh dang, man. We got to keep getting the word out. Just, I don't know, to somehow help us. And I think it's the us that really care about living. Oh, Pebbles is going to make a little appearance. She thinks she's going to go outside, but she's not because she's a bird killer. She gets to go out. But now she just wants to go out way too much and chase and kill the birds. And I'm telling you, we have a ton of beautiful birds around here, and we don't want them going away. So we give her limited time outside, and that's usually when it's dark or transitioning from light to dark or dark to light. But she's whining in the background now. Okay, so I've been giving this some thought, you know, and I was thinking about people who live in a city, because if you watch even your local news, or if you pay any attention to news, period, whether it's national news or local news, all of it is mainstream media. All of it has some kind of a signal or some kind of a message that they're trying to give you that isn't necessarily the truth. And usually it's somehow biased, and it's usually biased against those of us who want to live a free life with the least amount of intrusion of the federal government. And I was thinking about this, and today I really kind of got moved by my thoughts about it. And I was like, you know, the problem is I don't give two about the people in the city. I literally don't. In fact, there's times when I hear a news story and I'm like, well, I'm glad they're dead. Whatever it is, whoever it is like, well, shouldn't have been out at 2 o'clock in the morning drinking and driving. Well, shouldn't have been hanging out on the streets over there in Southeast Portland or Northeast Portland or wherever, you know. Well, you shouldn't have been doing whatever you were doing to get shot at 4:15 in the morning or 3:30 or whatever. I don't care. The problem is that the cities control the vote in every single state, because there's just more people concentrated in the cities, and the way that, you know, the whole voting system is put together, that high concentration of people in the cities, you know, takes most of the votes for whatever they're voting on. And, you know, here's the problem for those of you in the city: you get what you vote for. Now, me out here in the country, you know, it doesn't really affect me, all your stupid laws and your stupid stuff that you're trying to create. Today I heard again, I've talked about this a few times on the Redneck Dennis show, about Oregon now is going to try and legalize prostitution and sex workers. They're going to create some new laws so sex workers won't get criminal records. And I was thinking to myself today, you know, could the left, progressive, liberal, political, you know, people, could they in any way possibly more degrade women than they have in the past several years? So you're already in a position, ladies, young women, athletes, performers, whatever, you're already in a position where the left has said, yeah, we don't give a crap about you, because we're going to let men compete against you in every single sport, in every single activity that they can compete. We're just going to let men come in and take your prizes. They're going to take your awards. They're going to take your trophies. They're going to take your records. They are going to shine in your sports. The left did that, not the right, not the conservatives, the left. And I was thinking to myself, why do they hate women so much? They literally, by their actions, are showing you that they hate you. Yeah, you will no longer be the state high school, you know, 440 champion or pole vault champion or long jump champion or any of those things, because a man is going to take that from you. Oh, he's going to say he's a woman. He's going to compete against you in tennis, in golf, in basketball, in soccer, in every single sport that you are a part of. The left has said, no, screw you. We're taking that. We're going to put men in that place, and they're going to be able to take your records from you. So all of my life, I grew up with extreme liberal, my sister, which I love dearly. And some of the things that she passed on to me were really important, and I'm glad that she gave me some different perspective on some things. But, you know, she always said that, you know, this sex work or hiring a prostitute or watching porn was demeaning to women. Well, that was 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. You know, now it's like Oregon, you know, one of the most progressive states in the country is saying, no, we're going to legalize this degradation of women. Yeah, we want you to be able to, you know, degrade women by hiring them for sex. We're just going to not make it criminal anymore. I mean, do you guys think that it's, do you think that that's a good idea? I really don't know, and I really don't care one way or the other, except that, why is it tolerated? I mean, why is there one single actual female left in the Democratic Party or still supporting the Democratic Party? Honest to God. I would literally love to hear somebody reason with me on why you would stay in the Democratic Party. Why would you continue to support this liberal agenda, this progressive agenda, that literally hates you as a woman? I mean, I'm a guy. I'm a white guy. I get it. But I'm a thinker. And when I kind of put these things together over decades of living, it like doesn't make sense to me. You know, why would you go from extreme support of women's rights to extremely taking away all of those gains that women have made in the decades past? And just letting men, of all things, letting men take that. Okay, dress it up in whatever way you want to dress it up. You know, you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. It's still a guy. Call it whatever you want to call it, it's still a guy. And that guy is competing against women. And the left says that's perfectly okay, we don't care. We don't care. We're going to let men, you know, trample all over women. We're going to let men take their high school records, you know, sports records, trophies, you know, world records. We're going to let men take their college records and accomplishments. They're going to compete as women. They're men. We're going to let them compete with the women. And yet women just continue, I mean, they fall in line still, you know, 100% behind this progressive agenda. And they literally hate you. Lip service, man. Lip service is all you get now as a woman in the party of progressives, in the party of liberals. There's a comment in the chat. All the news is city news, it seems. That's true. That's true. Don't show the way we live out here in the country. Number one, we don't want you out here in the country. We don't want, you know, I talked a little bit about a neighbor that moved in, and every time somebody moves in to the country, a new neighbor, you're wondering, you know, God, are they from California? Are they progressives from the big city? And, you know, they think they want to come out. This is what happens often. They think they want to come out and live in the country. And then they have their neighbors shooting off guns, you know, in the country, and they think there's something wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. We do it all the time out here. All of us, almost all of us, have guns, and we pop off sometimes. We don't shoot at each other. We don't shoot in the directions of the houses. We usually have a good, solid backstop, backdrop, safe direction that we're shooting, you know, aware of where all the animals are, all the people live, careful handling of guns. and he gets some moron from the city who comes out and wants to complain because a neighbor's firing off a gun. Oh, well, get used to it or leave, because we're not changing for you. But yeah, you know, you don't hear about the tens of people that were killed in Chicago over the weekend, or Illinois, Detroit, you know, Portland, Seattle. You don't hear about that all the time. And if you do, you always hear about, you know, gun crime, gun this, gun that, guns, guns, guns. Not the freaking retarded idiots, drug addicted morons who are buying those guns illegally, possessing those guns illegally, using those guns illegally. It's all guns, guns, guns. We have to take the guns. We have to stop guns. And it doesn't work. Time and time again, it doesn't work. But that's their goal. Oh, God dang, where was I? Jeez. Oh, okay, so yeah, I'm going to get into this next book. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, so I think I just needed a break from, maybe to refocus my energy and my thoughts about what is it that I want to convey here, the Discerning Observer podcast. The Homestead Show, man, I have some stuff coming up. Crystal has just caught on fire, our daughter. She has been for a long time, but I'm not kidding. She's going all out. I want to tell you, well, no, I should save that for Saturday's Homestead Show. Anyway, she's making yogurt. She's making kefir. She's making butter. She's going to make sour cream tonight. Everything now is being made from real food, real ingredients. You know, we're eating far better than we ever have. I looked at Rochelle today. We were both sitting out here we're going to call it the whatchamacallit room, because we tried calling it the clubhouse, and I don't know. We've had several, the biohazard room. It's not a room. It's outside. But we were sitting there. I go, what the hell did we do to deserve to have such great cooks in this house? And they actually just make meals for us. Like, this is kind of a secret, you guys. But they just are in there. And, you know, I mean, we can cook too. We have for decades taken care of ourselves. We have these two, at least two, fantastic cooks that put together these delicious meals that are wholesome. The other night we had a skillet meal, had all these fresh vegetables in it. Crystal even went down to the garden and found a handful of radishes that were volunteers left over from last year's radishes that went to seed. They had a whole bunch of, and they were beautiful, big, crimson globe radishes. They were delicious. Anyway, we had all this fantastic skillet meal, mostly vegetables with some little sliced up meat in it. And it was kind of crazy because we had a coleslaw that didn't have mayonnaise. It had some other kind of dressing on it, and it was so good. I had half of my plate full of the coleslaw, half of my plate full of this skillet meal that had vegetables, you know, tons of vegetables, fresh vegetables in it. And, I couldn't decide which one I wanted to eat more or first. It was like they were both so damn good. I just wanted to like take my time and enjoy each one. Like they were both so fantastic. And it's just crazy, you know, to be like today. Okay, so this Rochelle's been after me all day to eat something. Well, I ate breakfast. It was a English muffin. And I didn't really feel like eating lunch. You've heard me talk about it before. We just don't eat well as Americans anymore. We eat like these meals, like three meals a day, but we don't do three meals worth of work to work the meals off. So, you know, it's okay not to eat so much, you know, and I try and tell Rochelle all the time, she tries to get the kids to eat another plate of food or a second helping or whatever. I go, don't. Man, don't force them to eat. If they don't want to eat, don't force them to. Just let them eat however much, you know, is going to take to sustain them. It sounds like I'm running a prison here or something. But it's true. I mean, why make them think about eating more when really, you know, whatever amount they're eating is probably enough. Of course, they don't eat the best. I think that'll change as time goes on. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know how I got off on that because I was talking about taking a break from the current events thing, and I keep going back to it. I keep going back to this whole living this way thing. And I guess that's the current events that I want to focus on. There's some important stuff. I listened to RFK Jr. on the Joe Rogan podcast the other day, and he had some really amazing things to say that I didn't know before. And I'm going to tell you something that kind of blows me away. And actually, Crystal was already way ahead of me on this one. But let's just say there's poison on the wheat, which means there's poison in the flour and there's poison in that whole process. And I hear this stuff and I'm like, God dang it, we need to get that kind of stuff out. You know, so people understand when people say you shouldn't eat processed foods, what they're saying, what they're trying to say, yeah, it's the processed foods suck for you in the first place. But no, there's a reason why. Like, they literally spray poison on wheat. The poison makes the wheat so dry, they can harvest it and process it immediately. Do you read me here? So they literally put poison on wheat, cut it, harvest it, take it to the wherever. It gets ground up into flour. It gets put into cereal. It ends up in all of these foods. Immediate. There's no way they wash this stuff off. Right? It's there. It's not only GMO'd plant matter, but now it's got poison on it too. And yeah, so Crystal was way ahead of me on this one. She's already found a source. A locally grown organic wheat. It has like three different kinds of wheat berries that it's made of. And you can go check out the farm. You can go watch the process. You can check them out anytime, see what they're doing, you know, so that there's no poison on your wheat. And then grind it yourself into flour and make stuff. I'm telling you, this girl is incredible. She bought this gigantic bread pan. This like commercial sized loaf of bread. And this was just over the weekend. She already made a loaf of white bread, a loaf of wheat bread, a loaf of sourdough white, and a loaf of sourdough wheat. Now that's a lot of bread. We can't eat that. I can't eat that much bread. I'd be ginormous in no time. Not that I'm really slender at all, but I am in pretty good shape, I think. I'll probably die of a heart attack tomorrow, but so let's talk a little bit about politics. Let's get off of that kind of stuff. But that kind of stuff is going to be much more in focus here on the Discerning Observer show. Because living out in the country, living outside of the city, I think people have different needs, different wants, different desires. And people want a little more freedom, but they also want to know what the heck is going into their bodies, mostly. You know, I don't know. City people are different. I don't know. I don't know how you live in that environment. I really don't. But I wanted to talk a little bit about actual politics. Because I was thinking in the last week, like I was pretty shocked after the last not presidential election, But the, you know, the ramp up to it where you had all these candidates vying for the position. And the best we came up with was Trump and Biden. And, you know, the progressive element, they always are talking about, you know, how diverse they are. And then they have the oldest, decrepit, brainless, feeble, white, old man as their elected leader. And I'm just thinking, yeah, you're very diverse. Very good. Good job. Oh, yeah. No kidding. We have the honey going and we have the apples. It's crazy. And spices and more. No kidding. I'm not kidding. Will you wait till you see what all we got going here? It's crazy. But anyway, back to this politics thing. So I was thinking, so this time around, imagine this. The best we're probably going to do is have two criminals facing off for the presidential election. And I can tell you, I'm pretty much 100% convinced that it pretty much doesn't matter what happens to Trump, he's going to win the election. Because everybody's just that pissed off. But just think about this now. So after 200 and something years of being a country, we're going to actually elect a criminal to office. I'm not saying he's criminal right now. I mean, he hasn't been like actually found guilty of anything, and maybe he won't. But come on, man. God dang it. This is the best we can do. Oh, I got to wet my whistle. See, I'm starting to dry out here. Yeah, so I said, so it's looking like the best we can do for presidential nominations this go round is having two criminals running against each other. Oh, I know one hasn't been convicted yet, but at least half of the country thinks he will be, and the other half will vote for him whether he is convicted or not. Interesting that politics now has come down to jailing your opponent to increase your chances of winning, especially when you are incapable of having a conversation, completing sentences, debating, walking upstairs or across the stage for that matter, or finding your way back to wherever the hell you came from. Crazy, man, that this is the best we can do. I mean, I know there's some other people who are, you know, have thrown their hat into the ring. Robert Kennedy Jr., for example, has said that he's going to run for president. There's no way he's going to get elected. He's a Democrat, which there's nothing wrong with that. I would actually support some of the stuff he believes in, but some of the stuff that he talks about doesn't rub me the right way. But the Democrats will hate him because he makes too much sense. And the CIA will probably try and kill him anyway, so for whatever reason, not sure why. Of course, you have DeSantis, and you have some other yahoos that are just in there for, I don't know, just to collect the money, I think. I don't think they seriously think they're going to win the presidency. I mean, they know they're not. It's just crazy how they even enter. But I guess you can raise a lot of money, you know, running for a political office of any kind. And I really don't blame people for doing that. By the way, I just want to mention this as a side note, kind of talking about making money. okay, I'm gonna go off my script here a little bit. I decided a couple days ago, I told my office manager, so nobody else knows this yet. I said, hey, I just want you to be the first to know before I tell anybody else that January 1st, I'm going to go down to 2 days a week. And probably mid-year next year, I'm going to retire. And we'll see. We'll see about that. But I can tell you this. I have always felt like I've done a really good job at doing dentistry, no matter which function it is that I'm doing. I'm really good at doing extractions. I'm really good at doing root canals and having them successful, you know, for long-term success. Whether you believe that root canals will kill you or not, I mean, there's a whole video and following of people who think that that's a poison, you know, way to kill you. I was very good at doing implants and dentures when I did that. I really prided myself in doing things well, not fast, but eventually speed just comes as you do things repetitively over and over again. Eventually, you know, like when I go to work on a daily basis, I don't think that, you know, back when you start out in dentistry, you think there's going to be something that comes along that trips you up. You know, like, you're going to get into an extraction that you can't finish. And I don't really ever feel that anymore, although I've had a few lately that have surprised me. But, you know, it was no big deal. But I can tell that that time is coming. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, next year, I'll have been doing dentistry for 40 years. Yeah, 2024 will be 40 years since I started doing dentistry. And I think that's a long enough time to do anything, honestly. And I mean, there's been some of this, I've had this kind of, kind of compassionate side of me that is like, man, you know, I already see the shortage of dentists out there in the world, in the United States, in Oregon. We lost so many during COVID, and they just didn't return. I mean, so many, you know, just in general, if you think about the baby boomers, you know, their retirement age now. And they all made their successes. They all have money. They've all done it. I'm kind of, I guess, tail end of baby boomers. So, you know, I'm kind of in that boat too, so to speak. Like, okay, well, maybe it's time to call it quits. And I can tell you this, I'm just as a side note, I have to pay twice as much money for Medicare as a normal person. I had a conversation on the phone with Social Security one day because my bill was higher this billing cycle than it was the first two times. I'm like, what is this gonna just keep going up, you know, throughout my existence? And they were like, no, but you know, we didn't charge you for this the first 3 months, and you know, this is how much your bill is going to be. And I go, okay, but how much is it if I didn't work at all? If I didn't have any income, how much would it be? And they told me, and I said, so now I have twice that amount because I work and I have a good job and I get good pay. And they said, yeah. So I pay twice the amount that anybody normally pays for Medicare because I work. So it gets to be... So there's a point of diminishing returns, right? Like you're going to work so hard for so much money, but the government's going to take, and think, oh no, don't get me started. Yeah, so they take it out of your paycheck, you know, and if I were to claim retirement benefits, well, they're going to tax those, and I have to pay for Medicare. Well, I know everybody has to do this. I'm not complaining. Trust me. I've lived a very gifted life. I'm very happy. It's just that now I kind of see where other people have said, you know, it's not so great being retired. I get it, man. So I'm kind of thinking about this other thing I'll talk about in a minute. But I can kind of see, like, it's going to be time for me to go. I mean, I could do dentistry probably 5-10 more years if I lived that long. Would it be the quality that I've done in the past 35? No. Well, then should I be doing it? In my opinion, no. I shouldn't. You know, when if I start noticing that there's certain things that I would have done a tiny bit better to make whatever it was I was doing that much more perfect, and I'm not doing it anymore, then I think it's time to go. It's not that time yet, but I see it coming. I feel it coming. And I think there's some other, there's always other things you can do in life. Yeah, bye-bye middle class, no kidding. I do feel bad for people who need dental care right now, though, or are going to be needing it in the next 20 years. It's going to be rough, man. It is going to be rough. So, you know, do your home care, do your oral hygiene, you know, brushing and flossing, and be diligent about it. Just like taking a shower, washing your hair, whatever. Because it's not easy. It's not easy getting in to get an appointment. Okay, so, yeah, so I told my office manager we're going down to 2 days a week in January, and I don't know how long I'll continue to do that. It kind of depends on other things that are brewing for me. Like, you know, I told Rochelle, we talked about this a few times, I said, you know, I can jump on a tractor and go till fields or mow or whatever and make, you know, money. You know, on my days off, I could go do a little job and get paid something, you know, or I could probably go, you know, work for some of these farmers. Like, hey, do you need somebody to drive that combine? You know, I'll do it. I'll do it cheap too, because I'm not right now, I'm not trying to make money. And I'm sure the corporation will be glad to hear that when I say, hey, I want to go down to 2 days a week and I want to make less money. I'm pretty sure they'll jump on that deal. But if they don't, it's no big deal. I could do locum work where I can go into offices for a week, a month, 2 months. Sometimes there's docs who are going to be off for 4 months. There's, you know, women who are taking maternity leave. They're going to, you know, be out of their practice for 3 or 4 months. And you can go in and keep their practice going and do whatever they did, you know, and with 40 years of experience, I'm sure I could do whatever it is they're doing. You know, so I don't have to stay here and do this, but it is easy because it's like 3 miles from my house, and it's pretty nice setup right now, even though it's busy as hell. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I'm looking into, and if anybody has any feedback on this, I'd appreciate it. So I'm watching a baseball game the other night, and it was actually on MLB Network. So it's not on regular TV, you know, like on ESPN or whatever. It's actually on MLB. I pay for that subscription so I can see all the games I want to see. And I was watching the game, and Google comes on, and they're talking about there's 750,000 cybersecurity jobs that are open, unfulfilled right now, and that they are offering a certificate in cybersecurity. And I was like, what? So Google is offering a certificate in cybersecurity, and you know, it's an online course. I don't know what the details. I looked into it a little bit, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. So Google has a learning center, and you would have to pay $50 a month to use the learning center. But they said you could get the certificate in 6 months if you only do 7 hours per week. So I'm thinking to myself, being kind of a gunner, is like, well, if I did, you know, like 2 hours a day, I could have this thing done in like a month or two. Now, I don't know if there's some restriction to being able to do so many, you know, hours on their learning. I haven't looked into it that much, but I'm thinking about doing it because, number one, yeah, if I could give up dentistry and make a lot less money But maybe work from home, you know, you can just tunnel into a lot of these computers, remote in to some systems, you know, to fix things. And once in a while, yeah, you got to show up because somebody kind of banged on their keyboard too hard or whatever, or shared their password with the entire world, you know, on a video or something like that. I mean, sometimes you might have to go and actually take control of a situation physically in person, but mostly, you know, I think you can remote a lot of this stuff. So if that would be the case, that would be an excellent job for me because I love that kind of hacking stuff. Yeah, I think I am going to apply. I'm going to go through the system. It would be easy, I think, for me. I looked at the courses. There's like 8 different courses, you know, sections of the course to take. And I've been exposed to all of them before, so I don't think it'll be a big deal. Well, I guess we'll find out. And I will share that here on the shows and let you know how it's going. The one thing, I will have to play a lot less EVE Online. Because that has really brought me a lot of joy lately, playing that game. And yeah, that's been good. Okay, so let me get back to my note. Anyway, so that's what I'm kind of thinking about doing. You know what? I have to take a short break. So let me put some music on. I'll be right back. Okay, so let me get back to, I know we just have a few minutes. I started late, but that's okay. I just wanted to come back here Wednesday, kind of do a show, get back in the groove. I think I'm going to be, going to start riding a motorcycle again. I'll be doing the daily shorts, which are kind of awesome because every day you get a little something. if I can think of something to talk about, but I don't think that that's a problem. Every single day, man. I'm not kidding. I've been thinking about taking my micro recorder, which is a really kind of professional type micro recorder. It doesn't matter. And just keep it with me. So when I have an idea, I can just spout it off and then post those to... Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, so I covered the next move in my dental profession. I think that's good. Okay, I wanted to talk about a couple more things. I'm gonna shrink this. So one is, have you heard about this submersible? The people who paid $250,000 to go down and see the Titanic. And now that submersible is like unaccounted for. And I'm just thinking, I thought right away, okay, they're dead. I mean, as soon as they turned up like not, well, as soon as they didn't turn up for kind of like a check-in, I was like, oh yeah, they're toast. There's no way they survived that. Whatever it is. I mean, if you're in a submarine and it doesn't come to the surface... Yeah, there's been a few stories of some miraculous rescues, but really, that's not the normal, you know, result. And, I mean, 2.5 miles down, if that's where they were. So this is what I heard. I've heard a couple of different things, but this is what I've kind of heard, is that the ship sailed with the submersible, and this makes the most sense, and they got on site, and then they put the submersible over. You know, and it's supposed to be down there, and, you know, you go see the Titanic, and you come back. But it didn't come back. I was thinking, I don't know, I'm an idiot sometimes. I was thinking, oh, they left from shore, and they just, like, submarined out there. But it was, like, 200-and-something miles. And then I was thinking, well, there's no way this little tiny sub was carrying enough fuel to go 200-and-something miles. So, yeah, obviously they were, you know, dropped off from a ship. And they didn't come back. Now, it seems to me, if I was going to pay $250,000 to go see the Titanic, I think one of the things I would have checked on is, like, how are you going to pull my ass up out of the bottom of the ocean if this thing fails? And, they're dead. Yeah, it can't be brought up. Even if they, yeah, I, and I, can't be brought up if found? Really? Well, I know that even if they find them, there's not enough oxygen for them to survive until they're brought back up. So they're dead. They're dead. Whatever it is, they're dead. Yeah, doesn't look good for them. But what I was thinking is, if I was going to pay $250,000, which I would not, to go to the bottom of the sea, I would kind of want to make sure there was some kind of a cable attached to actually, you know, like hoist us back up. And yeah, I think you could get 2.25 miles of cable. As a matter of fact, they ran cable all the way across the oceans for communications back in the day. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have a cable attached to pull this thing up if everything went wrong. And like at least, you know, have some better communications, which is impossible underwater. And I think everybody knew all this stuff, but, you know, that's where we are. So, but I can't believe, could you imagine paying $250,000 to just, you know, go die in a submarine at sea? But oh well, I think the CEO is on board, the CEO of the company, whatever that company's called. But, okay, so let's see. I think I covered everything in my notes. Yeah, and that's kind of old stuff. You remember Putin? They said there's an assassination attempt on Putin. And, I mean, have you heard anything more about that? No, you haven't. Yeah, all the rest of this stuff is kind of normal. New stuff, so I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to wrap it up here in a few seconds. And I just want to say, I hope I'm going to be back on Wednesdays. I'm going to try and make sure I get that back. We're going to just a different kind of show is all. I think a different focus from me. We'll see where it goes. But I love doing this. I think it's a lot of fun. So I'm going to keep doing it and continue to play and have fun and continue to raise food, make food, and, you know, grow food and manage birds, fowl, guinea fowl, chickens, eggs. And you'll get to kind of go along that ride with me too on the Homestead Show. Anyway, you guys have a great week. I will see you Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Homestead Show. The right on the left coast, the Homestead Show, Ravenwood Homestead. And don't forget to catch Hal Anthony on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, when he opens a can of whoop-ass behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony on Sunday. Thanks, you guys. I will see you next time. Maybe. What is going on here? There we go. Thank you for listening to the Discerning Observer podcast.